Expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Folks.
There you go. Hey.
Only one?
Only one. I've got another one right here, though.
I know.
His hair isn't always like that. Sometimes it's flat.
Well, his eyes are looking kind of funny. They're kind of, you know.
Yeah, boy. Well, it's Sunday once again. It's September 15th, 2024. You're listening to KCNR, Sovereign Minds, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, Your Truth Radio. Yeah, we're back. We never left. Anyway, I'm here in the case. A little rummy. I worked all day yesterday till late, so I'm a little rummy today. I'm here in the great state of Jefferson with my sister Linda, who does all the heavy lifting. A ball of endless energy. I'm an immovable object. I'm an unstoppable force of nature and a slayer.
Whoa, what the hell is that?
Slayer of snowflakes, and she's heard more BOS than a BOS meeting.
All right,
true.
I'm going to grab a cup for you for half of this.
I need
and the BS keeps on giving.
Yes, can someone give me a little bit? I got to get a vein here. Hold on.
I'll just jab you in the neck.
We have a doctor.
I can fix it. I got doctors.
Is there a doctor in the house? Is there a doctor?
Good morning.
We have a special guest as well today. We've got Dr. Paul Danuka, who is running for some office somewhere. I'm not even sure what it
Reading
is.
Reading City Council.
That's what I thought, but I didn't want to misspoke because so many people are running for everything and I can't keep track of it all, but,
You're a busy man.
I am. It's crazy.
Good morning, and thank you for having me. Thank you.
You betcha. I'm glad you could make it today.
Well, very good. Have you got anything you want to talk about? I mean, should we start off with the usual of who are you, where are you from?
Why did you decide to do this again?
Yeah, I know.
Not at the Reading City Council level, but it's not the first time.
Is there a lot of masochism in your family?
Yeah. And aren't you busy enough without taking on that role?
Right. So, frankly, yeah, sometimes I wonder what's wrong with me.
That's why you fit in so well with the rest of us.
You know, it's like anybody who's running for office that's doing it because they want to, I think, is part of the problem.
Right. But I do feel that it's a republic if we can keep it.
Yeah,
so I almost feel that it should be a duty. I mean, I feel that it's a duty for us to get engaged, right? It's with our civic society and republic.
Yes.
And actually, I feel that everyone should run for one office in their lifetime.
Well, I ran for radio talk show host. and I can't seem to get out of it.
So, you always have this. So, but I really feel that because that gives you a sense of what our republic is about. It's not easy to persuade people, right, for what you stand for and what your positions are. However, it's worth it. It's worth it to do it, and it's almost as our duty. So
I think it is a duty. I think that's part of the self-governance that's why they said, can you keep it? Because will you fall asleep? Will you get complacent? Will you get apathetic towards your government? Will you control it? Will you become a part of the solution instead of part of the problem?
Absolutely. And you, and truly, you know, we understand it logically, philosophically, but once you run a campaign, then you realize, what does it take? Let me tell you my experience. My experience has been that the biggest issue I see is that people are not engaged.
Mm-hmm.
That is our biggest Achilles heel. That's our Achilles heel. So, but let me tell you about myself, if you allow me. I'm a medical doctor. I am married to another doctor who's a cancer specialist, actually the only one in town now, unfortunately.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, there was used to be six, and she's the only one left in town now.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have a really shortage of doctors and specialists now. We have raised over three children here who have graduated from local high school, so I'll go to a local church. And currently, I'm the president of North Valley Medical Association.
Mm-hmm.
I have been chief of doctor staff in both the hospital board of governors on both the hospitals. Currently, I sit on some a few advisory boards, including Public Health Advisory Board, Simpson College, and many others. So I have been engaged in our civic society for the last 20 years. However, all these things, you know, we have run successful businesses, we have started cancer centers, employed 80 to 100 people at a time, build buildings, construction, our own centers, and life has been good. I have been really blessed beyond my expectations and imagination. And the true credit really belongs not to me, but to our society, to our community here, our small town, Reading community, our Shasta County, which has been immensely, immensely generous to me and my family. I'm indebted to them, and now it's my turn to give back. That's why I'm running for Reading City Council.
Very nice.
You know, you're not a Native American, obviously.
Well, been a long hair enough.
So you came from India, I'm assuming.
Yeah, it was a long time ago. It's been about 40 years?
No, 40 years.
Close to 40 years now. No, sorry, 30 years. Close
so,
to 30 years.
You know, a couple pointed questions. You're here illegally, right?
Yeah, that's why you got into the medical field.
Now, the reason I asked that is I wanted to kind of get your opinion, you know, all kidding aside, on what do you think about this immigration situation that we have? And it seems like it's even affecting, you know, our local people here. I'm hearing about busloads of people coming in. I don't know if that's absolutely true, but I'm hearing it from pretty credible sources.
So I kind of
wanted to get your take on what do you think about that?
The beauty of this country is it's basically built on basis of immigration.
Right.
You know, for hundreds and hundreds.
We all came
and hundreds
from someplace. I mean, except Native Americans.
Right.
Other than that.
Right. Right. So, and hundreds and hundreds of years. And the country has welcomed the immigrants for the long time. There are certain things, you know, you can always argue about it, that hey, some people were allowed earlier, some people are not allowed here, some people were welcome here, some people are not welcome here. But eventually, all of the immigrants, as well as the country, has taken its inspiration from that our Declaration of Independence. All men are created equal. You know, of course, they didn't say women earlier, but, you know, women also are included in that. And everyone is equal, right? Everyone is.
Man is.
That's what they meant, a person, right? But initially they were not allowed
people,
to vote, right?
Sure.
So basically, all humans are created equal. And that is a morality from Jesus, right? So we have absolutely been a country who has really welcomed all humanity. You know, Statue of Liberty says, give me your downtrodden and wretched, and that's what we are accepting. And we have made the best out of them.
Right.
When they succeed here, the credit belongs to America. Not to me that I'm successful here, but credit belongs to America who has made me successful, right?
Right.
Right.
But at the same time, we are also a nation of laws. We are a nation who believes in constitution, written documents, and laws based on that. So I do feel that immigration should be legal, not illegal.
Right.
Because that really make some mockery of
I think
the
immigration is legal. My big thing is assimilation and understanding our laws so that you're coming here to be a productive member of society and to get into our economic freedom with the understanding that in order to get anything or get any place, you have to work hard at something and, you know, try to achieve the American dream, not be coming in illegally and given incentives to not be legal.
And change our whole United States. They want to come in and change it to what it was whether they came
from.
Then,
I'm sorry to say that. Then they can go back.
I totally agree, but that's what a lot of them want to do.
Well, it's about life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, right? It's a lot about whatever you work for, whatever you earn, you have the full rights to keep it. And you have the right to enjoy the fruits of your labor.
Right.
But you're not entitled to the fruits of others' labors.
Boy, I'll tell you what, that's exactly the nail that I wanted to hit on the head. I believe in immigration, but I believe in working hard and keeping the benefit of your labor so that you produce more and society becomes richer as a whole. This idea that conservatives are against immigration is complete stupidity, in my opinion. What we're against is people from other countries bringing their culture here to establish, because most of the other cultures, and maybe I'm wrong, you can correct me on this, don't have a constitution like ours that is incentivizing work effort and keeping the benefit of your labor.
Well, America is an exception. It was an exception 300 years ago. Before it was became America, it was an exception when it was founded. It was an experiment in human history, which was kind of, I would say, miracle. Because really, at that time, the concepts were not there. The people could govern themselves, right? This was a coming out of an age of enlightenment, and it was an experiment based on those ideals. So it gave the people the opportunity to work hard and enjoy the fruits of their labor. That is the founding principle of this country. I mean, there was a few things which we had to correct with time and which we did. Right. And that actually, those corrections also come from the founding principles that all men are created equal and from the morality coming down from Jesus. Having said that, we have kind of gone away from that path. Right. And I would say that, I will argue, that's not just about immigration. It's also about the people who may be born here,
absolutely,
who may be citizens here, but they are really looking for benefits which they haven't earned.
I totally agree with you. I think that the more that people rely upon the government to take care of them, the more that this country starts falling apart because it's a redistribution.
Absolutely. And actually, it doesn't only hurt the other people. It hurts the very people who receive those things.
Yes.
Because having a job, having a work is such a validation of one's self-worth.
Self-worth, absolutely. No question. Now you're contributing. You feel better about yourself. You don't have a complex about, you know, not being able to achieve or you know, looking at yourself inward and saying, wow, I'm no good.
So in my opinion, what we are doing right now is a kind of almost like a bastardized, I'm sorry, can I use that word? Bastardized version of...
I'm good with it. They just have to keep shutting my mic.
it's like a messed up version of Marxism that
right.
you give the people the benefits, but you don't ask them to work hard. I'm sorry, I'm against that part.
Yeah.
I want to take care of everyone who is vulnerable. You know, people who are down on their luck, people who are disabled, people
See,
who are
I love charity. I love charity, but charity is not charity when it's coerced from unwilling people.
Right.
So when you are taking money from people and giving it to others, you're controlling both sides of the coin, and that's not charity. That's extortion.
Well, yeah, and I guess where the people that they're forcing us to try to make us do the charity piece.
That's extortion.
Yeah, yeah, but we get where we don't want to. What happens when we quit?
I agree with you. I mean, we want to take care of the people, you know, who are very old, you know, with children.
Sure.
You want to take care of them.
The people that can't take care
of
them.
Right. But if you are an able-bodied person and you can work, then you should be working. That's an expectation which we have gone away from.
Right.
And that is a problem. Yeah. And that's a, because that only, that not only creates the complexity in the society and divisions in the society, but actually enslaves the mentality of the people who are benefiting from that welfare state.
I agree. I think that's what we've been seeing is a purposeful division of the people from uniting to one common cause, which is to make the country better. And I think that they're dividing the blacks between the whites and the gays between the straights and the, you know, take your pick. And that's purposefully done at this point, in my opinion.
There are only two classes. Ruling class and the rest of us.
So we probably got a little far afield with some philosophy, but I'm glad, you know, we want you to understand. We want them, the listeners, to understand where you're coming from. So, so let's maybe bring it back into local politics. What do you think you can do to better this city?
That is exactly. So this is a nonpartisan position, and I'm very honored to receive the endorsement from the local Shasta GOP as well as Shasta County Republican Assembly. It's deeply honored, honoring thing to me. However, it's still a nonpartisan election. And what we're going to focus are going to be bread and butter issues. So how do we clean the streets? How do we reduce? I mean, we have had several shootings in the last few months.
Mm-hmm.
We have had at least four, I can count, three or four or so accidents or basically somebody under the influence killing someone in a car or some in a so that's those kind of things.
Do we import any Haitians?
No. Let's not go there. Okay, I'm not going there. Okay,
right. I'm sorry.
Okay. These are all.
We try to have a little fun here too.
I know, but it can be. You know how it can be perceived.
No, I get it. I'm
so
sorry.
But these are people who are, you know, are citizens here who are doing bad things. Right. There are people amongst us who are. Let's accept that. Let's admit that. So, the shootings, those basically driving under the influence and killing people, we are seeing also. So we don't need to clean the street.
Right.
We need to make sure that our police has enough the required authority and the resources to clean the street. The other thing I want to really focus on that is mental health and drug rehab. That's an important part of our equation in terms of crimes as well as homelessness. Mm-hmm. And we all know someone who has been touched by that.
Yeah.
So I want to have a facility which can treat those patients outpatient as well as sometimes, if needed, inpatient facility. So that's a short-term solution.
I think part of that problem as well is the economy because, that's the next – I mean, that's the real
–
you know, when people lose hope because they can't find a decent job or can't, find a way to support themselves, then they turn to this kind of stuff.
Right. And that's a longer-term thing, that how do we improve our economy?
Right.
There's enough of red tape. I have built my own buildings. I mean, not myself building it. What I mean is that I have developed some big centers here, and I have faced myself, and I'm sure all of people have faced the red tape, the permit process. Mm-hmm. So those are the things which we can resolve.
Listen, I've been a tax return preparer for like 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
So red tape is like, you know,
keeps increasing, doesn't decrease.
Yeah, right? It's getting worse and worse.
Yeah, the planning department and stuff, everybody knows it's kind of a nightmare here when you try to do anything, like you say, to build a building or, you know,
expand whatever in your business.
The city has its own. There are good staff who work there, and I understand their position. They're put in an awkward position to follow the state law versus the reality on the grounds. But I see the council's role is to facilitate those things and make it easier and make it friendlier to the people who are trying to build something or rehabbing a building. Otherwise, we have so many buildings which are being vacant and being broken into.
Right.
But if you reduce the cost of construction or rehab, that's going to spur the economic activity.
How do you propose to do that?
So that's one thing is going to be reducing the red tape. The other thing is I'm going to be looking into is the can we reduce the impact fees? So county has done that. See if we can do that at the city side. But I will go a little bit beyond that. We need to attract more businesses here. And I'll give an example. A lot of doctors are leaving the town, right?
Right.
And
why? Why? Just
Well, brief. Okay, I actually want to touch on that a little bit more.
Okay.
So, I will come to that. But a lot of doctors are leaving the practices and they're closing the practices, and it's not just doctors. You know, MD imaging, which was an X-ray and CT scan facility, last time they changed hands. So a lot of things we are. If you see the restaurants, you know, in last few months, how many restaurants have closed doors?
Well, part of that's California and their policies. Exactly. I mean, no question about it. And the inflation factor. Yeah.
Yes, that is what is killing us.
Yeah.
So how do we, first of all, of course, we know state of California is a horrible place to do business. You know, whatever comes from Newsom is generally really bad for us.
We like to refer to him as Satan at this point.
Especially for our rural area. So there are a few things we can do. But the other things which I want to do is, and I'll tie this into medical side, that I'm in long run, I would like to bring a medical school here. They'll train not just the doctors, but also
that's a good idea.
Not just the doctor, but the nurses, X-ray techs, ultrasound techs, therapists. That will serve three purposes. One, it will solve our problem with the shortage of healthcare workers and doctors, right? Second, it will attract the best and the brightest from all over the country who will come here for training, spend their money here, and stay here.
Stimulating the economy.
Isn't there already a program like that with Chester Regional?
That is a program to train the doctors after the medical school.
Oh, after. I gotcha.
Right,
okay.
Right. So
these are, this is pre-doctor.
So this is pre-doctor. Right. So actual medical school, like UC Davis
actual
Medical School.
School. Yeah.
Actual school, four-year school. So, but that will train not just the doctors, as I said. It will also give our young people an opportunity to go into some high-paying job skills area, whether it's a nursing, whether it's a respiratory tech, whether it's ultrasound, we have such a huge shortage of X-ray techs.
I just wonder why anybody would want to be a doctor. You know, I mean, it's a tough job.
Yeah, it is. And you come out with $500,000 loan.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why most people say, well, I can't do this anymore.
Right.
So that is the second benefit of medical school, right? The first is shortage of healthcare workers. Second is actually improving the economy.
Right.
The third thing is going to happen is it becomes almost like a stimulating factor. It will give our next generation an inspiration to something more to do, something extra to do. And I'm all in favor of trades and vocational training. But this is also something which we need to focus on. But also it will put Reading as a destination for the rest of the nation also.
You know, I gotta ask you. You know, you started out, you came to this country pretty much with nothing, my understanding. What inspired you to become a doctor? What inspired you to become a part of the medical profession? I mean, is it a calling? Did you feel like this is what you had to do? How did you get here?
Well, my two daughters are going to be doctors too now.
You're not proud or anything, are you?
I know. One is going to be a teacher, but why would I even want to be a doctor, right?
Yeah, it's tough. I mean,
so, you know, basically, once you become a doctor, you started after 18, you have to go for a training for a four-year college, four-year medical school, four-year residency. That's 12 years right there.
Right.
That's 30 years.
So you can't want this. Yeah.
So you can't actually earn a living before you're 30.
Right.
And then if you want to be a specialist, then another 3 years. But having said that, this is a profession like nothing else. You know, as a physician, people trust their life in my hand. I'm holding the life in my hand.
Right.
They trust their family, their loved one, and they give it to me and say, can you take care of me? Can you take care of my child? Can you take care of my brother?
You're scaring the hell out of me.
It scares the hell out of me.
It should.
It scares the hell out of me. Because I'm like, can I do this, Lord? Can I do this, God? And there's a picture. It comes to mind when I have that. A surgeon is operating, and there's a beautiful painting. And I'll show it to you sometime. A surgeon is operating, and Jesus is just, God is just standing behind him with his hand on his shoulder and saying, you got this.
So you're telling me, what I'm hearing is that you are divine inspired to a big degree.
Well, I don't want to go beyond my capabilities
sure.
of understanding divine, but I'm just saying is when you hold that life in your hand, it's something changes in you. You just want to do everything possible in your power to take care of it. Right. That trust you, that sacred trust you
so
want
to
So
in order to do that, you have to be the best that you can be.
And you try everything to be the best.
Right.
But also, you have to be humble to know what your limits are.
Right.
You also have to read a lot, but you also have to keep an open mind that always looking for new knowledge and new information. And, I mean, you know, there are times when we can't save people. There are bad cancers. We can't save people. But most of the time, we make a difference. And that is a feeling which no money can buy. I go to bed with peace in my heart that, yes, I did right by someone. And people don't have to say thank you even. But I can feel it. Right. That is a feeling which nothing else can buy. So I am so in love with my profession. And I'm so honored and indebted to the people who are willing to trust me.
So with that, I think we have to take a break. And then I got a couple of questions in the chat room from somebody. And with that, we will take a break and we'll see you in about five.
Oh, you're almost making me.
PSA 2 Area Agency on Aging would like to invite you to join our free caregiver support events during the month of September. During Session 1, learn how to speak Alzheimer's and related dementia dialects. During Session 2, learn how to understand long-term care. These free events will be held in Wairika, Weaverville, Susanville, Redding, Alturas, and MacArthur, and all attendees will receive free resource materials. Visit psa2.org for dates and times. That's psa2.org.
Hello, Northern California. This is Rollin with the Flag Center. With fire season clearly upon us, we're inviting you to join us in celebrating all police, firefighters, and first responders who keep us safe day and night through thick and thin. We salute you. The Flag Center keeps plenty of thin blue line and thin red line flags in stock. To get yours, stop by the Flag Center at 2124 Hilltop Drive or on the web at theflagcenter.com. Flags, flagpoles, and accessories since 1980.
Everybody has been dealing with the availability of homeowners insurance in Northern California. Companies not writing your home insurance anymore are leaving the state altogether. Siskiyou Insurance has hired a specialist specifically for dealing with a homeowners crisis here in Shasta County. He specializes in what the market is doing, coverages, and which companies may be able to help. Call Brian Dews at Siskiyou Insurance Services for your home or auto consultation. Siskiyou Insurance Services, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
Smoke and sap, dirt and grime, leaves and pollen, and even bugs. Just a few things that can possibly damage your vehicle's paint over time, causing it to pit, fade, and oxidize, basically ruining your paint job. Quick and Clean Car Wash can help. Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Redding invites you to stop by and enjoy their all-cloth car wash, where they take the time to pre-wash and hand-scrub your car or truck. Quick and Clean Car Wash also offers car wash packages. Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Redding.
Well, you wake up in the morning, you hear the work bell ring, and I march you to the table. You see the same old thing. Ain't no food upon the table. There's no fork up in the pan. But you better not complain, boy. You get in trouble with the man.
Let the midnight special shine a light on me. Let the midnight special shine a light on me. Let the midnight special shine a light on me. Let the midnight.
Sovereign Mind Radio. We're back. Home of the Free Fire Media, community radio for the North State. Say that five times fast, if you will. 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. And we've got a special guest in here today. We've got Dr. Paul DeNuca, and he is running for, I like to call him Doc.
That's what I call him.
Yeah. He's running for city council.
Reading City Council.
Well, that's
yes.
where we're at, Reading. Yeah. I'm assuming that we're not running for Antioch.
Well, I just want to make sure you get it correct. There you go. So he could be running for Shasta Lake.
There's a city in Shasta Lake?
Yeah. Just saying, he could. He could be.
So, real quick, one, you express huge amounts of humility. And the other thing that I kind of want to end up going through, and I've been kind of quiet this whole time, is throughout the COVID years and throughout seeing that, I have watched you be one of the only people in the city, especially in the medical profession, that was actually standing up for the people. And I want to commend you for that. And I want to say, out and out, you have my full endorsement.
Thank you so much.
From watching what you've done and from watching the humility and from watching the actions that you've taken, even at risk to yourself, to do what is best for the people that you serve, that's why.
Thank you. It was important for us to do that so that I can live with myself in the future. And also, what I talked about, sacred trust. Between me and my patients, there is a sacred trust. They trust me, and it's up to me to keep that.
So you plan to bring that to your constituents as well,
I'm hoping that people will trust me enough that I will keep their trust. And I will do everything possible in my power, what I can, to make sure that I do the best by the city.
So let's get into some nuts and bolts.
Well, I've got a couple questions in the chat room.
Okay,
Okay.
Go ahead.
Here we go. How can we get more oncologists in the area? Just one remains. Did COVID wipe them out? Low pay. What really happened? What is your take on that?
Okay. It's a little bit complicated question, and I wish I could show some people some graphs. Which, you know,
right.
A picture is 1,000 words.
Right.
So what happened in 20 years is, over 20 years, inflation has gone up 100% almost, especially in last 3-4 years, which all of us have felt hyperinflation. Things have really doubled pretty much, right?
Right.
But the payment arrangement in our country right now, our medical health care is pretty much controlled by the government.
That's the problem.
Mm. Yep.
So 2/3 of that is directly paid by the government. Medicare is half, 50%, then another 20-30% is Medi-Cal, and then the insurance follow the government plans. So what happened is, with this inflation going up 100%, doctors' reimbursements, insurance have capped down to zero increase or sometimes lower.
Well,
just this year they cut by 7%.
That's
right.
And that, I mean, they want a single payer system for sure. That would, that translates in English to government controls it all.
Exactly. And we talked about that 15 years ago when Obamacare hit. And I was in this studio talking with Carl Bott about how Obamacare is going to be a disaster for our country.
Yes.
Because of that. Intention may be good that we want to cover everyone, but the results are what we are paying.
Well, you know the old saying about the road being paved to hell with good intentions.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we've lost the side effects of it, the unintended consequences of it. We were not taken into account.
See, I would argue that the consequences were actually intended, but that's for another discussion.
So that's part of it, right?
Right.
So this is hurting the entire country. However, it's much worse in California because we know in California, hyperinflation is much worse than the rest of the country. But the third factor, rural area are being hurt the most. Why? Because our payments are much less in this area, but inflation is rising even in the rural area. The cost of living, we all feel it. You know, the rent, the food, everything is pretty much doubled. Now, what happens is these doctors also at the same time, new, especially the young ones, they're coming out with a $500,000 loan.
So they can't afford to to pay the loans to get
make a decent enough living by after paying their private practice. Used to be I'm here because me and my wife like this old style doctor practice. Me and my patients, my relationship. Hey, if you need me, I'm here. If you don't want to see me, happy to refer you to someone else. You have money, you can give me my fees. If you have insurance, I'll bill the insurance. You don't have money, it's okay, I'll take care of it. Can you bring me some chicken? Or can you bring... I'm just joking there.
Damn it.
So this. I've already been an old-style community doctor. But now these young ones who are coming, they are saying, hey, I can't afford to live in a rural area. I can't afford to have this old-style rural doctor practice. So they are taking jobs with Kaiser or Sutter or big institution in big cities. They're not coming to small areas. That is the problem which is hitting us much worse than it's hitting the big cities.
So how can you
that's why the doctors are leaving as well.
Exactly.
And going to...
That's the second problem.
Yeah.
One is not coming, recruiting. The second problem is retention.
So what do we do?
So there are short-term and long-term solutions. So for the short-term, I'm talking with a Partnership Health, which administers the Medi-Cal here, and I'm also the president of North Valley Medical Association, so I'm talking with CMA people as well as the hospitals, and I have good relationship with the hospitals. So one thing is that we attract the new doctors by giving them some incentives that, okay, you know, moving expenses or practice expenses so that you stay here, provided that you're going to serve all the people, not just particular insurance.
And the city, and the city can do that?
No, I'm coming to that part. But I'm seeing with, so far I'm working with the hospitals and Partnership Health and the other institutions to provide that incentive so they don't just come here, but they stay here for at least 3 to 5 years if they are going to take that incentive.
Right.
Now, how city can help in that? It's not in direct jurisdiction of the city,
right?
But it affects the city. So we need to work with the city and county to come together to make those incentives better for some of the specialists, like oncology, which are really highly needed, or primary care. But there's other thing which we can do, and I'm exploring that possibility. Blue Cross, Blue Shield, Aetna, United, all these insurances are administered outside. They're headquartered in some city somewhere, I don't even know where. Not in Redding, not even in Sacramento. For them, Redding doesn't even exist. They don't even care about it.
Right.
Is there any possibility that we can make a consortium that the, all the large businesses to start with, city, county, you know, large businesses, then the smaller businesses also come together and make a consortium that they can be self-insured. So we run our own insurance administration, not the city running it, not the county running it. That's not what I'm advocating it. But I'm just saying is you can hire a company which can administer the insurance benefits. Mm. What that will do is that will reduce the money going out of the area. And that money can be used to incentivize the healthcare workers to stay and practice here. So that's a short-term thing. Midterm, we are also have started a residency training program in Shasta Regional Medical Center. Shasta Community Health Center has one. Mercy always had one. So we are trying to train more doctors here. I'm also part of UC Davis training program that I go there and teach the GI doctors there. I hope to bring them, some of them, attract them here. But those are small things. In long run, what we need is a medical school here. There are many towns smaller than our size in the country who have their own medical school. 40,000 population, they have medical schools. And that's much more common.
How would you fund that?
Okay, so we can come to that also. So, and I'm not selling something which is kind of, oh, hey, we cannot do it like this year or next year.
Sure.
It takes years and years.
It's a long-term plan.
Right, it's a long-term plan. So, medical school, depending on the size, costs somewhere between $30 million to $100 million. Okay? Now, that's
I can write a check right now.
I'll take it. $30 million to $100 million.
You better run to the bank quick, though.
Right. But having said that, just think of it this way. We just built a court building here. How much did that cost?
I have no idea.
$250 million.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Right?
It can be done.
Yeah.
It can be done.
So it can be done. And remember this. I'm not our medical community here does not only serve Redding, it serves Shasta County, it serves actually the entire North State.
Right.
I get patients from Medford, Eureka.
Yeah, they're coming from all over because we're the centralized hub here.
We are the hub of that.
Yeah.
So, what I want to really do is put everybody together, city, county, Shasta Lake City, Anderson City, Lawson County, you know, Siskiyou County, Tehama County, Modoc, work with the nonprofits locally, work with the hospitals, and see if we can come up with a plan for the finances as well.
I think you might want to hit the Indian casinos and a few places like that as well.
Yeah.
I think he hit the nail on the head. Is he's wanting to work with the county, the city, everybody working together.
Everyone.
You don't hear a lot of that these days of everybody working together. They, you know, we'll do our thing over here and you do your thing over there instead of getting together and saying, this is for the people.
Yes, exactly. And then we also ask, because see, there's a huge need we have, but there's also a huge recognition of the need. I'm part of California Medical Association, and we, from our rural caucus, we go and every time I beat them up on this. What are you doing for our rural area? What are you doing for our city and our county? Because those people need us too.
Mm-hmm.
So we can attract investment from the state as well, but for that to happen, first we will have to have our house in order.
Right.
First we will have to get together. Okay. And I'm going to be very candid here with everyone. Doesn't matter. I'm not speaking to one side or the second side or third side. All of us better get our act together and sit on a table and make some good decisions for the future of this community.
Mm-hmm.
Enough of this thing that, oh, I'm on this side or that side. No. That thing can play out in the national politics, but when fire hits us, there's no one to take care of us but ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
When we get sick, there's no one to take care of ourselves but our neighbor, our friends, our family. So we're going to work together and make this a reality.
Mm-hmm.
I have a clip from Massey I want to play. I don't want to get into your time here. I'm not sure what do we got here as far as
that.
But it's about 5 minutes, and it really addresses what you're talking about. This is at Congress, but I think this guy came out and kind of said what needed to be said here a little bit about the budget, and this kind of addresses what you're saying. Are we ready to go in there? Do we have a? I don't see anybody.
Yep, we're good.
Okay, we're ready to go. Let's play this, and then we can talk about it too as it relates to local politics as well.
And I would call him Mr. Massey.
This is Representative Thomas Massey.
So can we be honest with the American people about what's going on here? This is political theater. I'm going to call out both sides right here. It's all posturing. It's fake fighting. We all know where it ends up. This is Groundhog Day. I don't care if the Democrat is the speaker or Republican is the speaker. We always get a CR in September, and then we get an omnibus. Sometimes there's a twist on that. We might get the omnibus before Christmas, but if we're not good, it comes after Christmas. But that's what's going to happen. And in the meantime, it's political theater. You know, we've got some, it's good theater. We've got great writers. I wish they'd just come up with a new plot. It's the same plot every fiscal year. What should we be doing? It's already been discussed. We should have done 12 separate bills. We should have done 12 separate bills. But again, whether Democrats are in control or Republicans are in control, we never do the 12 separate bills. Why do we always spend at least as much as we did last year, and why do we never cut spending? It's because Democrats want to grow the welfare state, and Republicans want to grow the military-industrial complex. And we're eventually going to get together, and they're both going to go up. I guarantee it. And both parties are just fine letting the bureaucrats do their thing, which should be our thing according to Article 1, Section 8 in the Constitution. We are empowered with these things. Most important of the things we do is the funding, and that's the big lever we have. You know, I've sat through now almost 2 years of hearings in this Congress where we've exposed lies at the CDC, shortcuts at the FDA, unconstitutional gun bans at the ATF, over prosecution of January Sixers at the DOJ, targeting common citizens at the FBI, spying by the NSA, illegal mandates for livestock by the USDA, targeting plant vaccine or transgenic plant vaccine at the NSF, and censorship, the censorship industrial complex at the of which the NSF is part of, automobile kill switch at the DOT. Now, these are all things I think most Democrats are just fine with, this kind of totalitarian state that the bureaucrats are pushing on us. But Republicans at least pretend to be against these things. But what are we going to do this September? We're going to fund every freaking one of those things that we have exposed. That is the tool that we have, is the funding. Why are we funding things we don't like? We don't have to. Well, it's because we're addicted to spending. And this doesn't do anything about the addiction at all. So let me touch on one point too here that I think is important. Is, you know, a couple years ago, or a summer and a half ago, I suppose now, we did something where we allowed the debt limit to be increased. But as a condition of that, we said if you do a CR that lasts past April 30th, everything's going to get cut 1%. And that, to me, seemed like at least a little tinge of fiscal responsibility was creeping in. But now I notice that this CR, instead of going 1 year and giving us time to do the 12 appropriations bills, is going to go 6 months. Now, let me tell you what's going to happen because this goes 6 months. Number one, it ends in March 28th, on March 28th. Well, the automatic cuts happen on April 30th if the CR went past that. So that is exactly why the Speaker chose a six-month CR, is so we don't have even the chance, a threat to this town. It's a threat of a 1% cut. We don't want to even – this is like T-ball. The 1% cut is on the tee, and Republicans won't even swing at it. So instead – we're going to do a six-month CR instead of a one-year CR. That sets up this another crisis next spring where we can do another pretend fight sometime around March. And that fight will – it'll be the same fight regardless of who wins the presidency and who's in charge of the Senate and the House. And we're basically going to get pretty much the same result. But that's 6 months from now. In the meantime, we can kick the can down the road. All of these things that we've exposed and all of these hearings are going to continue to get funded. But wait, there's a bright, shiny object on this CR. I've never seen one of these. I have never seen a bright, shiny object attached to one of these must-pass bills. Oh, wait, no. It actually happens. There always is a bright, shiny object, a bauble, if you will, a little something to get excited about. This SAVE Act is going to save us all, right? And by the way, this is good political theater. I do like this part of it. That we're going to see almost every Democrat cast a vote so that illegals can vote in our elections. I mean, that's pretty clever on the part of our speaker to set that up, make you all take that vote. But here's what he's going to do after you take that vote. He's going to take it off. The bright, shiny object goes away. It's Lucy and the football again. And the American public is all revved up. Yeah, we're going to get to save that. We're going to save these elections. We're going to stop the illegals from voting. Really, how are you going to do that in like 6 weeks? I think they're already registered if they're going to vote. Some of them probably already voted. This SAVE Act ain't going to save anything. And particularly because it ain't ever going to become law. It's a false promise to get all the Republicans half pregnant. And then you're going to get fully pregnant by the end of September when you vote for this CR. That is not going to have... I hate to break this to you. I mean, the Democrats already know this. I'm not telling you anything special. I hate to break it to the Republicans. You ain't getting the SAVE Act. It is not going to stay on this bill. Why? Because we're going to cave. We're going to cave. Is it a fight worth having? Absolutely, it's a fight worth having. Make those Democrats say they want illegals to vote. Make them take that vote as many times as you can. And then make them go to the ballot box in November. But that's what it is political theater, folks. We all know where it ends up. We've seen it. I've been here 12 years. I've seen it 12 times. I refuse to be a thespian in this failure theater.
So there's a lot there. And I wanted to get that played out there because of the games that are being played on both sides. And we're both seeing that, and we need to have the interest of the American people and you know, in mind when we're doing any of these things, that it's going to improve the economy, whether it's going to improve, you know, whatever. But, you know, I think it's important to get that out there just because of the SAVE Act and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't want to, you know, tie that to you as much as I just want to say here's part of the problem. You know, both sides are playing against the, you know, playing each other against the metal. And I think we need to get beyond that.
You know, as I said, at the heart of it, I'm a doctor. And I've seen how people hurt. It doesn't matter Democrats or Republicans or what race or what nationality or what gender. When it hurts, it hurts.
Right.
Mm-hmm. When you're sick, you're sick. You know, cancer doesn't discriminate. And when they do that, the only thing they're looking for is healing.
Right.
Our community also needs that.
I think that's what America needs. That's yes. why I brought this up.
Right. Absolutely. That's what our country needs. That's what our city and county need. Now, I do realize that those issues, national issues, are of critical importance. However, I'm just one person. I will do everything possible I can, but I know I can do the most effective work in my city,
right.
in mm-hmm. my county. So that's where I'm going to focus on. So a lot of people are going to be fighting about this side or that side. I'm just going to stay focused on healing our city and county. And hopefully, we can set an example that can become an example for the rest of the nation, that how we come together here. A lot of people have called us bad names, and every time I read this in a newspaper from LA Times or San Francisco Chronicle, I cringe.
Right.
They say, Shasta County this, Shasta County that, this, that. It makes me so furious inside that this is not what I know. This is not the people. These are some of the kindest, most generous people we live amongst. That's why I live here.
I think Shasta County has shown leadership that the nation could follow.
Right. So we are going to be the inspiration so that we can set an example for the people also to heal and come together and make the lives better for our next generation. What I want to do is that we should become an inspiration for our next generation and a destination for the rest of the nation. That's what I would like to do.
Very good. And,
so how do people get a hold of you? Contact information, things like that?
So I have a website, Dr. Paul Dhanuka. That's drpauldhanuka.com. Okay. As well as I have a campaign Facebook page. My personal Facebook page is also there. And if you want, you can also reach out to me. I can give my cell number, 530.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. How do you spell Dhanuka?
D-H-A-N-U-K-A, drpauldhanuka.com.
Right. And the phone number, 530?
That's my personal cell number, 356-0529.
All right, I got you pulled up here. I'll post it in the chat room.
I want to say thank you for coming in. I appreciate you coming in and spending the time with us and going over some of your visions and what you would like to do with our community. I think it's great.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity. I would humbly ask for your audience to help me support each. I need everyone's vote and support and help me in this process. Because I can't do it alone. This is not about me. This is about all of us.
Right.
So good. I humbly ask for everyone's support. Thank you.
Very good. Yeah, we appreciate you coming in. And I hope the questions weren't too off course.
And thanks again, Doc. Thank you. We appreciate you and everything that you do for us.
All right. I guess we're almost at the top of the hour, so we've got another guest coming in after
11,
the break
yeah.
and stuff. And we're going to run the town hall here in a minute and get that out of the way. Speaking of which, I think our guest just walked through the door. Any last thoughts, anybody? I mean,
I just wish there was more people like Doc. I really like Doc and his visions in trying to work with everybody. Like I said before, I think that's one thing a lot of the candidates have never mentioned is trying to get a bunch of people working and moving towards the same vision instead of mm-hmm. being in our own little thing.
Yeah, I think the problem is that everybody's been fighting amongst themselves so much between the sides that they've forgotten what the goals are.
We will bring it back. Yeah. We'll bring it back. Thank you.
Uh-huh. All right,
very
good. And with that, I think we're just about there, and they're probably going to cut us off. So we will see you on the other side.
We have a little clock there now.
Oh, I guess we got 35 seconds to go.
I like that. That way we don't...
Oh, now see, I told you. Here we go. So we will see you on the other side of the break. and we will have another guest in the studio.
News from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Herring. The federal government is not rushing to block Japan's Nippon Steel from buying U.S. steel, White House correspondent Greg Clugston reports.
President Biden opposes the deal and wants to formally block the acquisition, but the necessary report from the government's Committee on Foreign Investment in the United States has yet to be submitted to the White House. U.S. Steel is headquartered in Pittsburgh, and the proposed takeover carries some political weight during an election year. Pennsylvania is the biggest electoral vote prize among the battleground states. In addition to the president, Vice President Harris and former President Trump have also come out against the deal. Greg Clugston, The White House.
Three Americans are amongst 37 people facing death sentences in Congo charged with trying to overthrow the government.
A lawyer who was present in the court proceedings spoke about the verdict. We are still disappointed with a verdict which is very severe and which did not take into account several issues. The defendants also included a Briton, Belgian, Canadian, and several Congolese. They can appeal the verdict on charges that included terrorism, murder, and criminal association. 13 people were acquitted in the trial. Around 6 people were killed in the failed coup attempt led by the lesser-known opposition figure Christian Malanga. I'm Rika Ann Garcia.
Blue-collar workers from Boeing are walking picket lines in the Pacific Northwest instead of building airplanes after overwhelmingly rejecting a proposed contract that would have raised their wages by about 6% over 4 years each year. Strike by 33,000 machinists. A billionaire spacewalker back on Earth, SpaceX capsule carrying tech entrepreneur Jared Isaacman and his crew, splashed down in the Gulf of Mexico early this morning. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
Hi, I'm Chuck McDowell, the timeshare cancellation guy and founder of Wesley Financial Group, and I want to set the record straight. I am not an attorney. I've never wanted to be an attorney, and the truth is I really don't even like attorneys. If I sound like an attorney or if I look like an attorney, I apologize. But what I've learned in my 15 years in the timeshare cancellation business is you don't need to be an attorney to get folks out of their timeshare. At Wesley, we've helped over 40,000 families cancel their timeshare without me being an attorney. And I want to share with you how we do it. Just give my office a call, and you will not talk to an attorney. And I guarantee if we take you as a client, we'll get you out of your timeshare, or you'll pay nothing.
Call now for your free timeshare exit info kit. 800-838-8822. That's 800-838-8822. 800-838-8822.
The American's embassy in Dhaka says high-level U.S. delegations have met with the head of Bangladesh's interim government, Nobel laureate Muhammad Yunus, to affirm, quote, dedication to fostering inclusive economic growth. Yunus took over after former Prime Minister Sheikh Hasina fled the country last month amid a mass uprising. Hasina was accused of corruption, violation of human rights, and excessive use of force against protesters. Yunus today says he seeks U.S. support to rebuild the country and, quote, carry out vital reforms. Nigeria's army says that soldiers have rescued 13 hostages who were kidnapped by an extremist group in the northwestern state of Kaduna. The army says the troops successfully overwhelmed the terrorists. Several kidnappers were killed and others captured. It did not specify which armed group the kidnappers belonged to. The rescued hostages were taken to a military facility for medical assessment. News and analysis at townhall.com. An ER nurse comes to the rescue.
A man whose pickup truck got trapped in rushing floodwaters unleashed by rains from Hurricane Francine was saved by a Good Samaritan who also happened to be an emergency room nurse. Miles Crawford waded through waist-high water in New Orleans on Wednesday night to smash through the truck's back window and pull the driver out. 10 minutes later, the vehicle was fully submerged. The 39-year-old Crawford cut his hand in the process, but said he had no choice but to do what had to be done. Keith Peters reporting.
Today is Sunday, September the 15th, and some notable people are celebrating a birthday today. Actor Tommy Lee Jones turns 78. Also turning 78, film director Oliver Stone. Football coach Pete Carroll has 73 candles on his birthday cake. Football Hall of Famer Dan Marino is 63 today. And actor Tom Hardy turns 47. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Once there was a way to get back homeward. Once there was a way to get back home.
Beatles.
Sleep pretty darling, do not cry. And I will sing a lullaby.
Yeah, Sovereign Minds, we're back. That's actually one of my favorites. I like that. And then I like the whole medley it goes into, you know, boy, you're gonna carry that weight. Never mind.
Hey.
What year were you born?
57.
I like a lot of the music.
Is my volume okay?
Yeah, it is perfect. I was just thinking about that the other day. You know, I remember being in Running Springs at the amusement park when She Loves You, Yeah, Yeah, Yeah came out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't remember amusement park in Running Springs.
No, yeah, there was. There was a little amusement.
There was a pool. There's
an arcade there as well.
Oh, okay. There's a little
not an amusement park.
Yeah, that's a little different. Yeah. But I was thinking the other day
I don't even think you can remember Running Springs because you were like...
Yes, I do. I remember a lot about Running Springs. I can remember a lot about things my brothers did. But anyway, I was thinking about the music, all the different songs and bands from when we grew up.
That's the best ever. You know,
but you stop and think of how thousands upon thousands of songs...
Yeah, that was the music era. About 60s, you know, or late 50s, early 60s, all through 70s. It started going downhill in the 90s and the 2000s, if you ask me. There's some good artists, obviously, at whatever time. But after that, it's like, it just didn't hold the same thing.
Did we play the Town Hall?
Youth. No,
not
yet.
Not to change the subject.
I didn't pay. No, I know.
Well.
You got to have enough to pay attention now. Come on. Hold on.
I was paying attention. You weren't paying attention.
Well, pay attention to this. Here's the Town Hall.
And then we'll get to our guest that's in the studio.
Maybe I can get it to work.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's not.
So you have more issues.
Do you know what it is that sometimes when I open it up, I got it right here again, but it's some reason it...
Good day. Welcome to this week's Town Hall News Brief. I'm Phoebe Johnson, your host, here with the latest local updates. On Friday the 13th in Reading, multiple schools experienced lockdowns due to reports of armed individuals. The first incident occurred around noon when Shasta High School, University Preparatory School, and Pioneer High School were locked down due to a report of a teenager with a gun near Shasta High. Police investigated and determined this to be a false alarm. Later, at approximately 12:20 p.m., Lassen View Elementary School was locked down after reports of someone shooting arrows at people near Pathway Church on Loma Lista Drive. Police arrested a suspect in this incident, though their identity was not disclosed. closed, both lockdowns were lifted once authorities ensured student safety. Thursday evening saw a focus on local politics. The League of Women Voters hosted a candidate forum in Shasta Lake for the Shasta County District 3 supervisor seat and Shasta Lake City Council positions. Supervisor candidates Mary Rickard and Corky Harmon discussed priorities, including board continuity and addressing substance use and mental health issues. They also shared views on measures P and Q concerning eminent domain and filling elected department head vacancies, respectively. Five candidates vying for three Shasta Lake City Council seats presented their visions for downtown development. Daniel Ringwalski, Dolores Lucero, former City Clerk Tony Coates, and incumbents Greg Watkins and Tina Eisenbaugh. Mayor Janice Powell, also a candidate, was absent. Their ideas range from the Redding Rancheria Economic Development Corporation project and low-income housing to veteran support, business growth, and beautification efforts. Candidates expressed diverse opinions on local matters, including board collaboration, the Election Commission, and homelessness. The League of Women Voters announced another forum to be held next week in Anderson, continuing their efforts to inform voters ahead of the November election. As local leaders debated the future of Shasta County, environmental concerns from the past came to the forefront. The Afterthought Mine, located 25 miles east of Redding, California, has been designated as an EPA Superfund cleanup site due to its toxic pollution. The abandoned mine produces acidic water contaminated with metals at levels far exceeding allowable standards, flowing into Little Creek, a Sacramento River tributary. The mine, operational from 1862 to 1952, generates approximately 250 gallons per minute of highly acidic water containing elevated levels of copper, cadmium, zinc, and arsenic. This pollution poses risks to aquatic life and human health in the immediate area. The EPA plans to spend 3 to 5 years studying the site to determine the most effective treatment method, aiming for a passive solution that can operate long term. Cleanup efforts will also involve removing contaminated rocks. This becomes Shasta County's second Superfund site joining Iron Mountain Mine. The cleanup will be taxpayer-funded as current property owners are not responsible for the mine's development. While environmental cleanup efforts look to the future, a piece of Redding's past has come to an end. Carnegie's, a downtown Redding restaurant opened for over 20 years, has closed its doors. Owner Julie Helianok announced the closure on Facebook, citing economic challenges. The establishment, located at the corner of Yuba and Oregon Streets since 1998, had developed a loyal customer base. Helianok explained that the business never fully recovered from the pandemic, and rising costs became unsustainable. She noted that the anticipated increase in customers from the new Shasta County Courthouse across the street did not materialize. Carnegie's joined several other local restaurants that have closed this year. Helianok mentioned significant increases in operating expenses, including food prices and credit card fees, as factors contributing to the closure. She does not plan to open another restaurant in the future. Thank you for listening to your Town Hall Brief. Join the conversation at Shasta Lake Town Hall on Facebook or at Town Hall News on X.
There you have it.
And we have a caller. We've got Dick on the line. Good morning, Dick.
Hey, good morning, Linda. You know, as you know, there's a nonprofit group called the Northern California Resident Support Group, and you happen to be the president of it.
That's true.
And Jim Richardson is the vice president, Linda Billings is the secretary, and me, Dick Wilkinson, is the treasurer. And I don't remember when it first opened up. I was there at the random. I don't remember that, but I think this is probably when this support group was founded. And it's a group that supports the Knighton Road Veterans Home. And no member or elected board member receive any compensation. We're all volunteers. And what do? Well, the state of California does not approve funds for all items that the members request. Mm-hmm. So we provide stuff for them. And recently we paid to recover several pool tables that were provided by the group years ago. We supplied military flags and stands for all branches of service. We built a bocce ball court, recently purchased a bumper pool table, purchased a shovel bar dance floor, and on July 3rd we had a root beer float social forum. And it's all done by funds that we get by fundraisers or by donations. And we have a fundraiser going right now. It's called a spaghetti, meatball, salad, bread, dessert, dinner. It's going to be at the Anderson VFW on the very last Saturday this month, September 28th. And the tickets are $15 for a ticket. Veterans $13, kids $1,200, $10. I have tickets here at my home on 3187 Barrel Court at the Big Red Barn that's lit up big time every Christmas. And I think Linda Billings also has tickets, and you also have tickets. But anyway, give me a call if you want to buy tickets. It's to help a nonprofit and to help the veterans at the Knighton Road Veterans Home. My number is 530-246-9131. And Linda Billingsley number is 530-510-0612. Or you can call 530-356-3651. If you wrote in a number, I don't know if you wrote him down, but anybody listen, get a pencil again. My number is 530-246-9131. Or come by the Big Red Barn. I'm at home all day today. The ticket's only $15. And we do take donations, and I have a card reader. We can, if you don't have cash, we can take your tickets on a card reader or cash on a card reader. But please help this nonprofit group that supports the Knighton Road Veterans Home. And thanks for letting me on, Linda. And have a rest of a good Sunday.
All right. Thanks, Dick. We appreciate you for calling in with us.
All right. Very good. So we have a guest with us in the studio today. He's running for SCOE.
Shasta County Office of Education.
Thank you. We've got Richard Gallardo here, a.k.a. Stones.
Stones.
There you go. It makes me think of a Neil Diamond song.
There's a story behind the nickname, but that's for another day.
All right. Yeah.
And you've got quite a few people that are running actually for SCOE, correct? Was there like four?
There's four seats, and the last I saw was 10 candidates for four seats.
I just kept thinking of the bear hunt.
Keep it clean, Mark.
Never mind. Keep it clean, Mark. Moving right along.
The FCC's listening.
I know. I got to watch myself every day. So tell us, what do you want to go? Where do you want to go first, Rich? I mean,
if I could, if you could hand me that piece of paper, can I read my candidate statement? It's only 200 words.
Tell people also where to find you out on there. It's
well, I guess what's important too to start off with, what is SCOE?
And West County Office of Education is so each county in California has basically a county office of education. They do special education. They do independent study, and then they run the schools for the juvenile hall kids. And then they do a whole bunch of other administrative things, which we can get into a little later. So Rich Gallardo, I think most people by now know who I am here in Shasta County. I don't think I really need to get into my background. I've been involved 3.5-4 years, so I don't think I need to go there, really. But I do want to read my candidate statement. So you'll find this on the elections page. So here it is. What has the SCOE done with $24 million of COVID, ARPA, CARE, and ESSER funds in the last 3 years? It has purchased unnecessary buildings and land and expanded programs and staff. SCOE currently has an enrollment of 169 students, however, employs over 380 full-time staff. SCOE blindly follows state laws and policies that limit or even prohibit parental involvement with the kids. We must stop the nonsense of allowing the kids to call themselves victims and instead teach them responsibility for their actions. Excuse me. The schools have turned into mental health institutions and social experimentation centers instead of actually focusing on learning the basics of reading, writing, and math. SCOE was managing the teacher who exposed himself to the kids in a classroom at Anderson Middle School late last year, but as of last month, his teaching credential is still valid.
Wow.
The gender identity fiasco is allowing kids that do not have the maturity to make decisions they may irreparably damage them physically and mentally for the rest of their lives. Time for sound and moral leadership at SCOE. Vote for someone that is not afraid to confront the failures of SCOE. And my campaign is at brighteon.social, brighteon.social, and search for @RichardForSCOEBoard. That's how you find me. So there's my candidate statement. That's basically the crux of why I'm running.
Can you kind of give us an overview of what SCOE actually, what's in their scope of things to be able to accomplish?
So again, their scope is they have their own schools, and then they also do a lot of administrative functions, most of which are budgetary. They give budgetary assistance to local school districts when it comes time for, you know, organizing and arranging and determining their budget reports and stuff like that. So they, They do help with a lot of budgetary administrative issues.
Okay.
But SCOE also, and I did a Records Act a week and a half ago, because in one of their agendas it reads that they have administer over 40 programs, 40 programs. And I Records Acted it. I said, I want the name of the program, how long it's been in place, what's the annual budget cycle for the budget for the each program, and here's the key, how many kids are served with each program. And they answered very incompletely. So now I'm going to have to resend another Records Act request because they just sent me a bunch of gobbledygook.
Right.
So, you know, they don't want me to have, they don't want me to have those answers. So, but I will get them, trust me.
Well, so, they probably never had anybody ask them before either.
Well, that too.
Just saying.
So, you know, the thing is, you know, the kids, our educational system in this state has been on the downhill slide, spiral,
yeah,
call it what you will, for probably 15 to 20 plus years. And that's a problem because the kids are the ones that are suffering. You know, Common Core, which they don't use that term Common Core anymore because nobody likes that word, but they're still using those same standards and everything
right.
else. So, and the kids are suffering. That's the problem. We're doing too many things not associated with direct effective education to make those kids effective adults when they get out of school and to be contributing to society. again, the mental health thing. We've got psychologists and mental health counselors in schools, and I mean, it's just crazy when you know. So when you were a kid and you did something wrong.
I was never a kid.
Okay. Linda, when you were a kid and you did something wrong, did you automatically want to own up to it? Or did you want to try to see if you could get away with it?
You know, well, I don't remember.
Come on now. Come on now.
It depends on what it was that I got caught doing.
All right,
I
now.
Didn't do anything.
Oh,
yeah,
Mark
okay.
was an angel. I see the halo yeah. above his head. So, so what kids do, right? They want to avoid responsibility for their actions.
Well,
that's natural. That is absolutely human nature. And so what the adults are doing now.
And it depends on who was asking.
Well, that too.
But I'll be honest.
But the adults in the educational system are doing now is they're placating these kids. They're giving these kids the reasons to avoid responsibility. Feelings, emotions. You had a bad childhood. Your ACEs score, that's a whole nother debacle.
Well, that sort of explains
the
whole woke thing. I mean, these people are living a delusional life.
Yes.
But when I was a kid, you never talked to the school about that, nor did the school say anything like that to you. It was your parents that you usually had to answer to, not anybody. Yeah, because they would say, okay, go to the office, we're going to call your parents or whatever. Yeah.
Or else, I remember, you know, having gotten, you know, sent to the principal office on numerous occasions.
Well, your halo's disappearing.
I don't,
go ahead.
I really don't remember a lot of specific talking going on.
No, you sat in a room in the corner while your parents and the vice principal were in another room talking, and you were sitting there terrified.
Well, terrified when your parent, usually your father, walked in. You knew you were in trouble.
I was definitely more afraid of my father than anything, but I remember getting swats.
Sure.
I mean, they brought out a paddle if you were incorrigible, my thing was, well, just don't tell my father because... Yeah, I mean, the punishment's going to be worse when I get home, and of course, this is because I was out of control or not paying attention or not listening or doing an egregious thing.
Right.
You know, it wasn't like, oh, gee, I dropped my pencil. You know, I was just...
You were guilty.
Yeah, you know...
Usually we were guilty and we got caught and we got busted.
The point is that there was accountability, whether it's
squats
or sitting in the corner or some punishment or having to work after school, whatever it was. It wasn't always about a corporal punishment, but it was about accountability.
So what's happening now is, what's been happening for a while now, is state law. There are state laws every year that get passed that continue to erode the kids' education. And there's laws now that they're limiting how you can suspend kids or expel kids or discipline kids, right, administratively and all that other.
There has to be some discipline with kids, period, because
yes.
if there's no boundaries,
correct,
then you end up with no accountability and kids that are walking around getting in trouble or causing problems.
Oh, It's bad.
Yeah, you used to get suspended, and that became a real problem because usually your parents had to make arrangements not to go to work. So then that was something you didn't want to have happen.
I don't remember ever getting suspended. I remember other things, but I don't remember getting suspended.
So, you know, in general, there needs to be a major reform of our educational system in the state of California, mm-hmm. and probably other states too, but... You know, the state is intentionally destroying the educational system. It's intentional. It's in the law.
Well,
and the results are obvious.
It started also at the federal level. I mean, we didn't have there was no Board of Education at the federal level till what, 60-something?
I think it was 72, 71, somewhere in there.
Ever since the federal government has got involved, and that's with the funding to the states and controlling the states through the funding, and that's how we got the CRT, that's how we got... all the stuff, the educational system has gone over a cliff.
And I was at a SCOE meeting about a year and a half ago, when the whole parental rights things and boys using girls' locker rooms was big news there at the SCOE. And I asked one of the board members, female, she's the president, her name escapes me at the moment, but I asked the entire SCOE board, I said, which of you board members believes that kids have the intelligence and maturity to make a decision to use other locker rooms, to decide what gender they want to be for the day or even for the moment, and if they want a cat litter box? I said, which one of you board members thinks the kids have the intelligence, maturity to make such a decision? Crickets. And then the president, the female president at the moment, she says, well, I do. I said, okay, well, thank you for being honest, but that's the wrong answer, okay? The adults have to be the adults and guide the children. Now, again, it's the parents parents and guardians, because remember, a lot of kids don't have parents. They have guardianships.
Well, the problem, too, is that if you get a generational thing going, you get the parents that come out of the school system all screwed up, and then they have kids.
It's already happened.
And then you don't have
that's
the parents.
That's been happening,
It's already happened.
Yeah, exactly.
Remember everybody gets a trophy 14 years ago? Everybody gets a trophy?
Everybody gets to feel good.
Those people are now parents, and that's unfortunate. But what we can control at the school level, and what I want to do is I want to get the parents back. 100% control, period, of the curriculum, period, of their kids, any counseling their kids may receive. 100%, it's called, there's passive consent and there's active consent in the schools. And passive means the school's going to do it without that the parent is consenting just by the fact the kids are in school. And then there's active consent, where the school has to get an affirmative signature by a parent or guardian to do anything. And I want to switch everything, including the curriculum, to active consent. Everything.
So how would you go about doing that?
You pass policies, and they will be in contradiction to state laws. Sorry.
And then what happens? Go ahead.
But listen to this. Education Code 35160. Legislature finds and declares that school districts, boards of education, superintendents have diverse needs unique to their individual communities and programs. And they should have the flexibility to create their own unique solutions. Isn't that beautiful? Wasn't that great?
Yeah.
That's still current law, but nobody's following it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the unique thing in Shasta County could be different than the needs in some other place.
Oh, even worse. No, even more specific than that. More specific than that, Enterprise School District.
True.
They want those parents. Remember, this goes back. The parents need to have full control, not the unions, not the legislature, not the. No, sorry, that's not how it works.
Right.
Enterprise could have different needs than, let's say, Fall River parents. Gee, you think?
Yeah.
Okay. It should be done at each LEA, local educational. It's called an LEA. Each school district's called an LEA.
Yeah, and there's how many does Shasta County have? Like 18?
No, we have approximately 26 school districts.
Wow.
In this county. Well, remember, we're geographically large county.
That's
a big reason why there's so many school districts. Because a lot of them are outside of Redding Anderson area. Most of them are pretty small.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and then here's another one, Ed Code, 35161, Ed Code. Governing Board of a District may execute any powers delegated or to the district, which is the Governing Board, and shall discharge any duties and may delegate, and then comma, that same board retains ultimate responsibility over the performance of those powers or duties. So that's really important that the board, they're the elected officials of that school district. They have the ultimate authority and responsibility. Not the California Department of Education, not the State Board of Education, not the governor, not the legislature. It's right here. The school district board.
Interesting.
And speaking of the State Board of Education, 11 unelected bureaucrats appointed by other government officials.
So they're not elected. They're appointed.
By other elected officials. But the State Board of Education are unelected bureaucrats. And remember, that's called the administrative state.
It's kind of like the CARB board.
CARB is part of the administrative state.
Right.
Okay, they're non-elected officials telling you what to do under threat of fines and everything else.
It's kind of like saying it's not my it gives the elected officials a way out. It's not my department. I didn't do that. I mean,
yep.
You know, it's their
pass the buck.
Yeah,
it is passing the buck, and that is wholly against our constitutional republic model. And yes, we are a republic.
Yes,
and but we have a democrat.
We do have to go to break. I hate to cut you off, but we do need to go to a break. And when we come back, we'll pick it up on the other side. This is KCNR 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
Shasta College Art Gallery is proud to host No Beginning, No End, a collected show of posthumous works by William Wareham, 1941 to 2023. Join us at Shasta College through October 18th with a guest lecture by Philip E. Lynn Harris, Chief Curator of Art Emeritus, Oakland Museum of California on Thursday, October 17th, 5 to 6 p.m. in Room 400. There will be a reception following the lecture from 6 to 7 p.m. in Building 300.
Hi, it's Mark from Haven Humane Society. Are you looking to add to your family? We have puppies, kittens, small critters, and farm animals. Each year, we have thousands of amazing animals looking for homes come into our lives, and we hope to have them join yours. Follow us on social media and find our links on our website at havenhumane.org. Watch our weekly content on YouTube, like our Mark's Monday mashup, when we talk about what's going on and introduce you to our team and adoptable animals. Get involved. Volunteer. Thank you for all your continued support. Together, we are moving closer to our ultimate goal of a North State with no more homeless pets.
Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Reading and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence, you can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
At Stifel Nicolaus, I am committed to offering investors personalized investment guidance. Stifel is a full-service organization with department staff with professionals that specialize in a wide range of investment opportunities. We strive to give each account, regardless of size, careful individual attention. This is Financial Advisor Susan Eastman at 530-244-7199. Let's talk today about a personalized plan. Again, that number, 530-244-7199.
Sunshine, lollipops, and rainbows. Everything that's wonderful is what I feel when we're together. Brighter than a lucky penny when you're near, the rain goes, disappears, dear, and I feel so fine just to know that you are mine. My life is sunshine, lollipops, and rainbows. That's how the street rain goes. So come on, join in, everybody. Sunshine, lollipops, and rainbows, everything that's wonderful is sure to come your way when
I think that we probably need to clear a few things up. Number one, we should have played Breakdown Dead Ahead by Boss Gags. And number two, that last song, Sergio Mendez, was in honor of Sergio Mendez dying last week, A Fool on the Hill. Just so you know, that wasn't making any reflection on anybody in the studio, myself included. So anyway, we're back. We always have fun with the music. Where are we at?
All right, well,
there's just so much happening.
There is a lot at this level.
So, and the SCOE, again, they have no legal jurisdiction over the other school boards. However, they have great political sway. Great political sway over the rest of the school boards in this county. And that's a perceived, remember, perception is reality sometimes. Makes it, right? You've heard that. Perception is reality. And see, the rest of these school boards, they may or may not know they are 100% autonomous from SCOE. And SCOE takes advantage of that. And they use these 40 programs, which they sprinkle down to the schools that accept them. And that's kind of a passive-aggressive way to take, SCOE takes controls over a lot of these schools is, hey, we're going to give you money for a program. That's what the SCOE does, right? It's always about the money, correct?
They always go back to the money piece.
That's how the corruption happens, right?
Yep. Like,
well, if you don't take this money, and then the unions get involved, it's like, well, you know, we've been doing this program for 3 years, and although it's failed, and we have no real, good, effective reports that says it's doing what it's supposed to do in an effective manner, now we have union employees under a union contract, and how do you get rid of that? Remember, the House of Representatives in the federal side. They're supposed to be the only ones that do the federal budget. Okay, now the U.S. Senate for some reason gets involved. But my point is, the legislative body, which is the House of Reps, they can make a program go away by just defunding it. Same thing at the local school board level. You just say, I'm sorry that you hired people for this program. Because it should have been contingent upon renewal of the money, renewal of the grant, right? And it likely is contingent upon that. But the unions put that pressure on the boards to say, well, we need to keep this, right? Because if this goes away, where are these employees going to go? I don't know. You don't think you can go from the public sector to the private sector? I did. In fact, I'm a heck of a lot more happier.
It doesn't sound like they even make them be accountable for what they've done.
Exactly.
In the past, or where they're headed for the future.
Yes, and one of my local friends just sent me, or he posted on Facebook, a story from Peoria, Arizona. Now, I need to look it up for the actual documents, but this Facebook post shows a school district in Peoria, Arizona, that it was looking at a mental health program that was coming up on its 5-year renewal.
Okay.
And this school district said, we're done with the program. We're going to cancel it. We're not going to accept any renewal funds for it because it has done nothing to improve the kids' education, nor mental health, by the way. So this is what needs to start happening. And you know what? That's just the reality of it.
Right.
You know, don't blame the person who's going to reorganize or reform a failed or eliminate a failed program. Don't blame that person. Blame the people that brought the program in and failed to hold it accountable to be effective and efficient. That's who you blame.
Well, why wouldn't you want to be transparent again so that the parents and people know with these 40 programs what is working and what isn't working?
Yep, absolutely. And they put it in writing. When you read the agendas and the minutes of the SCOE meetings, they put it in writing that they want rubrics and they want, you know, to be able to tell if it's successful or not. But then that's just all flowery.
Kabuki,
thank you. Yeah. It's total kabuki theater. They don't mean it. It looks good in writing. But then when you follow up later, you never see that report.
Yeah.
You never see such a critical report on a particular program. It never gets produced for public consumption. Gee, I wonder why that is.
Oh.
I wonder why that is, Mark.
I don't know. I think we need to just clean house. That's what I do.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So I'm going to get back to the basics, right? The U.S. Constitution, state constitution, it says that all political power is inherent in the people. not the governor, not a black-robed judge.
Right.
In the people, okay? Now, we're representative, we're a constitutional republic. So the people sitting on a board, elected board, they're representing the people.
Supposed to.
They're supposed to be. Yes, thank you for qualifying that. They're supposed to be.
Supposed to be.
So when the people wish, and also in the California Constitution, we may alter or reform the government. It's in the Constitution. Right. So we can alter it or reform.
Or abolish.
That is in the U.S. Constitution. Right. Alter or abolish is the U.S. The state constitution is alter or reform. Okay? Okay. There's a little play on words, but the words mean things, right?
Right.
So we have to start doing that at the local level, those local elected officials at the school board levels. Why are they there? Are they going to sit there and just do what they're told by the state, the legislature, the state board of education, the federal department of it? Are they just sit there as conduits?
Well, they got
to collect
my monies.
Be informed and grow a pair, I guess.
I want to collect my money and go past go.
That's all pretty much they're doing. It's Kabuki theater again. Well, you get a little bit of control over your funding, local control funding formulas and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, whatever. No. You're just a conduit for all this crap.
But that's
can I say crap? I think I can.
You just did. this has been going on for a long time. The people not understanding what their rights are at all kinds of different levels. We've seen it at the Board of Supervisors. I've seen it all over the place. But that's part of this great awakening, if you will, is that people are starting to understand that the law has given them the ultimate say and power, by their elections, by their participation. And they have to participate and understand their own rights in order to be effective.
Yeah, well, people assumed for a long time, parents and everybody else just assumed that this wasn't going on, that they had our best interest at heart and everything was good. And then, we woke up and went, holy crap.
Well, complacency and apathy are our biggest enemies, I think.
Well, absolutely. And again, getting back to some of these programs, I will get the list. They're delaying it on purpose because they know the ballots are about 3 weeks away.
Yeah, that's
from
crazy.
Reaching your mailboxes. And by the way, at the end of the show, I'll give my recommendation on how to vote properly.
Right.
another thing that's coming down the pike, and is what's called community schools. Community schools. So this
is part of the
cradle to grave. The government's going to take care of you everything.
The womb to tomb.
Womb to tomb. Thank you. I like that. So community schools, about 30 of our local schools are wanting to adopt it or have adopted it. I'm still reading the 2024 agendas and minutes, but the number 30 came out at me that there's 30 schools involved with the community schools program. And basically, physical health care, mental health care, probably dentistry, all that stuff. I joked a few months ago at an Anderson board meeting. I says, you know what is going to happen? Eventually they're going to be doing abortions in the back room. Oh, that's just ridiculous, Rich. Okay, yeah, whatever. Whatever. Because there's things right now that 12-year-olds and up
can do
in school.
Yeah, without their parents.
School knowledge and assistance.
Yep.
And they legally don't have to notify the parents. Yep. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? That is ridiculous. The parents and guardians should have 100% control and authority and permission over what happens with their minor.
Right.
Period.
Yeah, and let alone taking them off campus and doing those things. Yeah, it's crazy.
No. And again, what happens with the current system is, well, when everything's failing, which it has been for 20-plus years, what do? They don't reform it. They double down. They quadruple down on the programs, the money, the administration of these programs. And then they wonder why they continue to fail. Because they're not reforming them.
I'm not sure they wonder. I think they know, but they, whether they have the ability, the want, the desire to change it.
But isn't it the thing that they have to spend all the money in order to get more money the next year? I mean,
well, it's kind of like that.
It just becomes very vicious in that circle.
It's kind of like that clip we played of Thomas Massie earlier, where he's talking about how it's just a big game
of
funding both sides, and they act like they're fighting while they're destroying the country through their spending.
Yeah.
So, you know, and the key, let's get back to the kids. The key is the kids. The kids are suffering within wholly inadequate proper education. Now, that's subjective. What's a proper education? Well, I think maybe we go back to the educational models of the 60s, 70s, and 80s, a true Americana constitutional educational system. And one of the other candidates, Teresa, she wants to bring in more of the trades type stuff, right? We had wood shop, right? I was in wood shop and
home ec.
Yeah, I worked in the bus garage at Anderson High School when I went through there. I was changing seats, and you know, my big job there was scraping the gum off the back of the seats. By the way,
home ec, he learned to cook and sew and do stuff like that.
Yeah, the kids were cutting up, but hey, it was a skill, right? So let's bring back, you know, the three basics, and let's bring back, you know, some skills type stuff. Anderson High School is doing that now. They're bringing back some more of the trade stuff on their own dime, by the way.
If you want,
I heard that.
Yes. The trade school's got to come back because right now, everybody who's been sending their children to indoctrinate you is, they're coming back screwed up in general, you know, in most cases because they're not teaching them things. What they're doing is they're indoctrinating them with ideological reasoning that is not critical thinking, but is, you know, being, you know, put in their brain as a subversion to the Constitution.
Oh, yeah. They call it critical thinking, but it's absolutely opposite that.
Right. Didn't they bring back, like, construction or something in Anderson?
They're bringing back, yes. I just saw a post today from one of the board meetings of kids and adults riding in a side-by-side at a construction site. That was posted just today. And,
awesome.
And that board member was espousing this new program getting back to
the is there any jobs out there for gender studies?
Underwater
that might be what the programs that they're getting paid for. I don't know.
Asking for a friend.
But so the system is set up so that anybody that wants to fight the system gets persecuted or they're threatened with civil liability, criminal liability. The system is intentionally set up.
Lawfare,
absolutely.
Yeah, have you heard of that?
But right, I read some board, I read some education codes. I cited some state constitution things. Right, the stuff is in writing. It's there. It's just not in practice.
Right.
So what we do is we seize the local control back. We seize it, but we don't ask. We don't wait for a judge. And here's the key. I've said this before on another program. A local elected official, any elected official that takes the oath of office, I swear to uphold and defend
the United States Constitution.
I swear. It says I swear. It doesn't say me and I'm waiting for a judge to decide before I uphold and defend. Those words are not in the – I'm sorry. I'm so passionate about this. Those words are not in the oath of office. I'm sorry if I'm yelling, but that's how passionate I am about it. When you're elected by the people and you take the oath, that's the only two things you need to seize control, period. Now, if you get to court, okay, fine. A judge issues an opinion, right?
Right.
Sometimes it's ruling, sometimes it's opinions, but it doesn't matter either way, okay?
You might throw a backbone in on that, too.
Sure. But you know what? Like Anderson, you know, they're fighting the parental rights thing. They joined there's a law firm, I forget the name, that's fighting for the parental rights, and there's three or four school boards involved, and Anderson's one of them. So the thing is, there are good law firms out there that will fight for you, but again, it doesn't matter what happens in the end. A judge is going to issue a ruling or an opinion, and me as an elected official, the judge might say, nope, you can't do this anymore, sorry, under threat of contempt of court. Okay, judge, this is my answer. Well, thanks, judge. I will take your opinion or ruling under advisement, but I don't work for you, judge. I work for the elected officials, and I took an oath to uphold and defend the Constitution, period.
Right.
The Constitution is written in like sixth grade English at the time, right?
So did they actually, but they don't
do
it.
Yes, but they don't. They don't do it. Yeah. So, and again, let's get back to, the judges in California. In California, has no moral authority to tell us what to do. Because California, they violate immigration law. Okay? They harbor and they provide, monies and everything else to illegal immigrants. That's against federal law. California is knowingly violating federal immigration law. California is knowingly disregarding firearms opinions, the Heller, McDonald opinions, and others. They're knowingly disregarding firearms rulings, or excuse me, opinions from the Supreme Court of the United States. California has no moral authority to tell me that I got to follow their laws.
Right.
And you brought up, and I think I introduced it to you a year and a half ago, there's a book called The Law from Frederick Bastiat, written in about 1860.
Yeah, I read
it's
that.
It's like $2. It's $2 on Amazon.
I read that like when I was 18 or 19.
That's a beautiful book.
Yeah,
but it
explains.
We're 160 years after that book has been written and explains how man uses laws to control other
men.
It's really very simple.
The essence of the book is law is force. And if they can force you to do it, then it's legal. And it doesn't matter what the law says. It's how they abuse the law that is the problem.
So we have to just seize control back of our local government bodies, our local government activities. Is it going to hurt? Is the state and the feds maybe going to threaten us with a lawsuit or pull funding? Yeah, probably.
They're going to do that anyway if you don't follow.
It's intentionally set up to do that. To scare you into compliance. Well, guess what? Rich Glore is not a scared. I'll say a scared, right? Some kids would say that, afraid. No, it's not afraid. It's a scared. No, it's afraid. I'm not afraid of anybody. Sorry. That's just me. Okay? I'm afraid of one person, and that's God. I'm not afraid of anybody else. That's why. That's one of the reasons they call me stoned.
Even if you are, you can't let that dictate to you what you do when you know what something is right or wrong. You know? You're supposed to stand up when it's right is right and wrong is wrong.
We've kind of blurred the difference between two wrongs make a right and right and wrong.
Well, everything's upside down.
Yeah,
you know,
our
government's upside down. The pyramid's upside down on how the governance is supposed to happen.
But we have to start somewhere, and at the local level, which we've talked about many times, is where we need to start anyway, because that's where the power is.
Well, that's how the country was built, is from the local level
right.
up. Okay.
Correct.
And so we just need to reclaim that.
We have
to reclaim it, and participating is how we do that. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so I'm still going through some of the budgetary issues with SCOE, and I'm finding some very concerning things. Again, 380 full-time employees, 169 students. Those employees are administering those 40 programs. And again, we don't have the rubrics to see if they're actually effective. They're probably somewhat effective, I'm sure. There's probably some good going on. But my bet is in the grades, you're right, A, B, C, D, and F, they probably would all be graded an F.
Right.
Honestly. Oh, well, that's 20% effective. Yeah, that's an F.
Right.
Oh, this one's 22. Still an F. Sorry. That means you flunked, okay? You get to redo. You get to redo the whole year over again.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me at all, you know, what the percentage rate is
and
on
some,
it.
And some of these budgets I'm looking at, so SCOE has a general fund, just like county board, they have a general fund, and then they have other monies coming in from the state, they have monies coming in from the feds, and some of those are grants, right? So the SCOE general fund, 73% of their general fund goes to salary and benefits.
That's what this is all about.
73%.
Yeah, that's what it's all about.
So you think it could be more effective with less people that worked harder?
So do you think it's a similar percentage with these 40 programs? That it's likely more than half of that program is going to salaries and benefits? Probably.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
Shasta 380, a lot of people.
Shasta County has been attacked by the whole country in a lot of different ways, from whether with the Dominion voting machines or the COVID stances or whatever. But I'll tell you what, when you're getting attacked by all these big mainstream medias and the left, you're on target. And that's kind of where I'm seeing that this is going, is that, you know, if you're not getting resistance from your enemy, then you're probably not doing the right thing anyway.
Yeah, but this isn't unique to Shasta County. This is an ongoing problem across at least California, if not, like you said, many other states.
All I'm saying is Shasta County should be the leader, just like it has in all these other areas, because we stand up for our rights here in Shasta County, and that's what we need to do.
Well, and then the state passes a law very quickly. I have a list.
I bet you do.
And the state passes a law that says, well, what you did last year, you no longer can do. Well, hold on. The state's been in place since 1950, so what, 180, or 1850, excuse me.
I was gonna
say 174 years.
That's the battle.
Okay, we used to be able to hand count for 170 years. We could choose to hand count for 174 years. And then all of a sudden we say we want a hand count. The state passed the law, says now you can't have. Are you kidding me, people? What we do is we don't comply.
Right.
We nullify. If you look at our founding documents, the Federalist, Anti-Federalist Papers, and all that, nullification, it was a huge part of building this country.
Right.
Because if your government went tyrannical, that was part of building this constitutional republic. If the government went tyrannical, you nullify their edicts and their laws.
So there's several ways to do nullification. One is the jury box. One is not complying.
Yes.
You know, day to day. And so there's several ways to nullify their laws. Mm-hmm. If they're unconstitutional, mm-hmm. you need to not follow them.
Yeah.
I mean, and we're seeing that, for example, on the Second Amendment stuff, where there's so many lawsuits that are being filed, and this is an ongoing battle. You know, we file something and we win, and then they file something and they stall it. So there's an ongoing battle here, but eventually, if the people wake up enough, then there's no way that the government can stand up against that.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. We need a lot more people. But continuing with a couple of budget items, because I know we're almost out of time.
Right.
Yeah, you got about 5 minutes,
so
6 minutes.
So the SCOE, they love giving raises to their
380
so,
why not? Why wouldn't
full-time
you?
Employees. They're very proud in their agendas and minutes. They're very proud to announce that they give anywhere from 6 to 8% cost of living adjustments.
Oh.
To all three? 8%. Wow.
Per year, by the way.
Per employee.
This is per year.
Wow.
So when they renew their contracts, right, they put in COLAs in these contracts.
Well, that's why you got to have those 40
well,
programs.
Well, and again, where did that $24 million go in the last 3.5 years? Oh, by the way, they gave COVID bonuses. 2+ years ago when Judy Flores was there, they gave COVID bonuses to the employees.
For what?
Staying home?
Because they were having to deal with so much stuff. And we're going to give you a bonus. Now, when I went to
worked less and got more.
A lot of them didn't even go into work.
So what I found online, and I believe this was the COVID bonus, I found hundreds of entries for $1,200 back in 2020 and 2021. That was, and this is on Transparent California, that was probably the COVID bonus. Just because they were having to deal with all the stress and everything else, let's go ahead and bribe you.
Right.
Let's issue a bribe.
Yeah.
But and mind you, how many students did you say that they're representing?
I went to the California Department of Education's website a month ago, and it was showing 169 students for those three educational programs that they're mandated to administer.
How many?
169. And how many employees?
380 full-time. That doesn't include the substitute teachers that SCOE manages, and they're part-time, and there are a lot of those.
That says a lot. That was just one of the things that I picked up when you were saying it was just kind of, all right, so we're two full-time people at least for each of the students.
Yeah.
And bonuses and all the rest of it.
Well, when you average it out, that's not necessarily a fair comparison, but I see your point, absolutely. It's bloated. Those programs are likely redundant, more than likely. And so we have to evaluate all of this and say, all right, what are we doing that needs to be streamlined?
Right.
And then let's redirect resources to the kids, period. Mm-hmm. That's what needs to happen. Hmm. So
you have about 3 minutes. So
I want to, a couple of announcements if I could.
Sure.
And then also voting. So voting is, that's a whole other program. But the best way to vote to minimize handling of your ballots is to vote on election day at your precinct. Vote a precinct ballot. And make sure that you watch it go into the container that is for the precinct ballot voting. There's going to be multiple containers. One of them is for anybody that comes in with a ballot in a sealed envelope. Please do not drop your ballot in a sealed envelope, either at a precinct, and don't do it at a drop box. Don't put it in a sealed envelope. That increases the time and the resources and the handling of that particular ballot. Please do not do that. Need to vote in person on election day.
Okay.
So, and then a couple other quick announcements.
Okay.
The League of Women Voters has decided, after all. First they said they were going to, and then they said nope. And now they're back to yes. We're going to do a SCOE forum.
I'm not a big fan of the League.
Well, I'm not either. I'm not either. But if we don't show up,
I'm not saying don't go, but they're very left-leaning.
Yes. So Wednesday, September 25, 6 p.m. at the Riverfront Playhouse. So please show up there. They let the audience members write questions out, but then, of course, they're sifted and sorted.
Then they cherry-pick them.
Yeah, if they use them at
all. But Rich Gallardo knows how to take a softball question and turn it into a hardball answer. So it's going to be a very interesting
and this
forum.
Is just for SCOE?
SCOE only, yep. Okay. And myself and Teresa have accepted as far as the conservatives.
We're going to hear the music.
So the other announcement is Saturday, September 28th, Lake Redding Park Gazebo, 10 a.m. to 1 or 2 p.m., depending. We're going to have a conservative slash Republican event, get out the vote event. And so we want people to show up to that. We're going to have a lot of the local candidates show up. A couple of current elected officials will be speaking on parental rights. This is a SCOE-centric event.
Where's it at?
Lake Redding Park Gazebo. It's going to be a SCOE school board-centric event. However, everybody else is going to be able to bring their tables and talk about
Then come over and have some spaghetti with us down
and
in
the
FW.
Okay. We're going to have a food truck and an ice cream truck, too, by the way, folks. So thank you again for the time.
Very good.
Thanks for coming in. We appreciate it.
Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. It is force, and force like fire is a dangerous servant and a